Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
Well, good morning. It's Schlereth and Evans. I'm Cecil Lammy sitting in for Mike Evans and sitting here with Mark Schlereth. Reminiscing, going over some of your favorite memories, Mark, as the passing of Pat Bowlen last night at the age of 75. Broncos owner Pat Bowlen passed away. And it's going to be a heavy day, Mark. No way around that for today's program. And just it is fun, though, hearing some of your favorite memories of Mr. B.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously he's been sick for a while. So that's always, you know, it's always sad when you have to go through that. But I tell you what, this is not only, you know, mourning, but it's also celebrating his life. I mean, he has just been, I think, I was just doing a radio show from a national standpoint with a Sirius XM called me and, you know, I wanted to get perspective, you know, like you said, on the sad day and the mourning and the passing of Pat Bowlen. But, you know, it's not only, I think, all Broncos country, it's not only our owner. Right. He was our owner, but he was our friend, like a friend of the community, a friend to the players. You know, he was one of those guys that I think did a phenomenal job of connecting people, connecting, you know, our football team. And there's just so many things that not necessarily that I sat and talked to Pat about, but just observing Pat and how he ran his organization, that set him apart. And so there are so many, you know, his fingerprints are all over, not only the Denver Broncos, certainly, but all over this league. Like, this league wouldn't be what it is today, a $14 billion a year league without Pat Bowlen and all the mechanics kind of that he put into place. For these TV deals and growing this league exponentially over the time that he owned the Denver Broncos. So, yeah, obviously you're mourning the loss of an owner, mourning the loss of a friend, but also just celebrating Pat's life because, he was, you know, he's one of a kind.
I've been thinking about a lot of things since learning of his passing late last night or early this morning. And one of the things that stands out is just what a great man he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think about, and I'm not going to name names, but there's other owners around the league that do really embarrassing things, that don't handle their business the right way. And Mr. Bowlen, and, you know, just being around him, covering this team, he does things the right way. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. That's kind of his stamp. Be a good man and be good in the community. Be good for the
right.
team.
Yeah, there's no question. You know, I think, interestingly enough, I was just kind of flipping through Twitter and saw a post by Mike Kliss, you know, our friend over at 9 News. And, you know, he said in the kind of penultimate moment, when you think about Pat Bowlen taking this franchise over in, what, 85 or whatever it was, and, you know, and going to Super Bowls and losing Super Bowls and all those different things and, you know, and never quite getting over the top. You finally have your moment after Super Bowl 32. It's your moment. You finally brought a championship to this city, right? After all the time and all the resources and, you know, everything that you have done to make them competitive. And like I said, you know, went to the Super Bowl in 86 and lost to the Giants, went back in 89, 90. You know, and got drubbed by the Niners, you know, I mean, all these different times that you went and absolutely got just trucked in, you know, in the Super Bowl, also 87 to the Redskins as well, and got trucked in that one too. So, you know, you got boat raced in three Super Bowls and you finally have your moment in the sun, you know, you finally have your moment as the owner that is hoisting the Lombardi Trophy. And what do you do with it? As soon as you get it, as soon as they hand it to you and say, what do you have to say? He says, this one's for John. Like, you know, you talk about taking the spotlight off yourself and putting it on others. And, you know, that it's always interesting, you know, my career as a football player would never have happened at the NFL if it wasn't for a teammate of mine here named Marvin Washington. So, you know, you learn about sacrifice sometimes through the actions of others. And so when I was a junior in college, I was retired from college football because of my injury history. And I begged and pleaded and just annoyed the piss out of everybody in the front office at the University of Idaho until I basically badgered them to let me come back and play. And so I played my senior year, but I switched positions and I went out and played and I did all those things. And I got done with my senior year. I had no agent. I had no interest. I had no invite to the combine. I had nothing. And one night, Marvin Washington calls me and says, "Hey, man, I'm working out for the Bengals tomorrow morning at the Kibbe Dome. Why don't you show up to my workout and see what happens?" So I show up to his workout and I beg the scouts to let me work out, right? And this probably happens 20 times. And Marvin, I mean, I'm blowing him away in these workouts. I'm crushing him. Probably cost him 3 or 4 rounds in the draft. But every time his friendship and his sacrifice towards me was to say, "Hey man, come enjoy, come be part of my workout and hopefully, man, we can get you noticed." And this is how I essentially got drafted. Ended up getting drafted. Marvin was supposed to be in the, you know, second or third round pick. He ended up going in the 6th round to the Jets. But one of the cool things was, like, had it not been for Marvin, like, it being the example of what sacrificial friendship is about, right? What it means to think of others as more important than yourself. And he did that for me, and that gave me a chance to play in the National Football League. Had it not been for Marvin Washington, I'd never played. I just had no interest. And interestingly enough, you go fast forward to Super Bowl 33, Mike had come downstairs. I was in the training room and said, "Hey, man, we need a swing defensive tackle, DN, you know, and I got a list of guys, but I don't really know any of them well personally. I know what they've done on tape, but is there any of these guys that kind of fits our team, like the character of our team?" He handed me this list, and Marvin Washington was on there. I go, "Oh, sign Marvin. He's my teammate at Idaho. He's a great man." We signed him, and then Marvin and I won a Super Bowl together, Super Bowl 33. So a couple of Vandals that have Super Bowl 33 rings. But the reason I tell that story is because you learn how to sacrifice sometimes and what that means through the vision that is given to you by others. And Mr. Bolin was, that's who he was. I mean, in his penultimate moment, winning his first championship after getting boat raced in 3 of them, to hold that trophy up for literally 2 seconds and say, "This one's for John." And, you know, and essentially hand it over. I mean, that's the kind of sacrifice he made for his football team, for his organization, for his family, and for his community.
And we certainly send our deepest condolences, our thoughts, our prayers for the Bolin family during this time as we mourn the loss of Broncos owner Pat Bolin at age 75, passing away last night. Surrounded by his family. It's Schlereth and Evans, Cecil Lammy sitting in for Mike Evans. We'll hear from Adam Schefter coming up next on The Fan.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion. Even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
Schlereth and Evans, as we mourn the loss of Broncos owner Pat Bolin. Cecil Lammy sitting in for Mike Evans. And Adam Schefter joining us now on the hotline. Adam, good morning. Your thoughts, your memories of Mr. B as we reflect on him today.
Oh, good morning, everybody. It's a sad morning in Colorado, and I guess everybody should be celebrating the life of Pat Bolin, and that's easy enough to do because of all he accomplished throughout the course of his tremendous life. But I'll just say this, like, for all those people who didn't know him, he really was a great guy. And I moved to Denver in September of 1990, and I will just say this, you step in from the outside, and you see this man with these frosty blue eyes, and he's got sort of a cold look to him. Not exactly a welcoming, warm look. But that was not the way that he was at all when you got to know him. He was a warm, caring, and great man. And it was opposite of those eyes that I'll always remember. And early on, I think there were so many people that remembered him for wearing that fur coat on the sideline in the AFC Championship game in Cleveland. And it became a part of who he was, and he grew to laugh about it to the point where, if my memory serves me correctly, I think he actually either wore a fur coat to a charity to raise money or auctioned off a fur coat. Maybe he auctioned off that fur coat to a charity to raise money. And you look at all the charitable work that he did through the years. I think it was over $30 million that he gave through the Broncos Charitable Foundation and helped so many people, flew the entire team to Darren Williams' funeral, was a huge part of the NFL world. He was on, I think, 15 different committees. He helped create Sunday Night Football. He helped bring Fox into the fold today. Okay, Stink might not have a job there today if it were not for Pat Bowlen.
That's true. It is true. Adam, you know, we were just talking about kind of in the penultimate moment of his career where, you know, the Broncos have been boat raced in three straight Super Bowls, and they finally win one in Super Bowl 32, and they hand him the Vince Lombardi trophy, and he goes right to "this one's for John" and essentially hands it over. I mean, that's kind of the quintessential memory for me of Pat Bowlen, of the unselfishness and how much he wanted to connect his team, his community, and you know, his players together.
Yeah, he loved you guys, Stink. I mean, he did. You know, and he just loved being a part of it, you know, working out in the weight rooms, and, you know, him and Mike Shanahan with competitions there, lifting and running, and you know, he was one of the guys. He started every day in the training room, which is why, you know, he made the great choice to have Steve Antonopoulos be his presenter at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And, you know, that's something that kind of irritates me, to be honest with you, is that he was not inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame sooner. And this happens all the time. I don't know how much he would have enjoyed it with his battle with Alzheimer's anyway. But, you know, every time this happens, it bothers me more and more. And this one bothers me, too, because Pat Bowlen was a Hall of Famer for years. He didn't just become one because they elected him in January. But he will be honored this summer because that's the way the timing transpired. But, you know, I didn't need a bunch of writers to tell me that he's a Hall of Famer and to wait as long as they did, which was a mistake, to put him into the Pro Football Hall of Fame while they put other people in who didn't deserve to be there as much as Pat Bowlen. And so now he won't be there on that day. You know, his family will be, and you know, I hope that Pat understood and appreciated this honor and that he was going in. But every time this happens, like Ken Stabler, same thing, years later, inducted. Like, what was the wait? Either he is or he isn't. And I know that there are limitations to the classes, but there are certain people like Pat Bowlen to me that should have been in sooner than they already were, and I just always find that disappointing. But it'll be a nice way for the Bowlen family to celebrate a man who meant so much to so many and did so much good. And you just think about it. You know, he bought that team, the Broncos team, back in the mid-'80s for, I think it was $70 million. Something to that effect. And it's only worth today about $2.6 billion. So that worked out to be a pretty good investment for him and his family. He was a great man. I can't tell you the number of times that I would be in that building working late at night. And they had back in the day, Stink, something called Sports Scan. And I don't know if you know what that was, but basically somebody would compile a group of all the clippings that were written in all the newspapers across the country, of every article of every team. And I would stay in the Broncos complex every weekday night, and I'd be there till 8, 9 o'clock reading these clippings, Sports Scan. inevitably, there were so many times where I found myself up in Pat's office just talking. And, you know, it was just, it was, and Cecil, you know the Pat Bowen marathon story, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
No, my story, basically, so I'm running the Boston Marathon in 2002, and I'm going to raise money for the Children's Hospital in Denver. And I went around soliciting some donations from some people. And Pat Bowen sends me a letter. I wish I still had that letter. And he says, if you run the Boston Marathon and beat my all-time best marathon time of 3 hours and 20 minutes, I will donate $26,200 to Children's Hospital in your name. If you run the marathon in under 4 hours, I will donate $2,620 to Children's Hospital in your name. If you run the marathon and finish it at all, I will donate $1,000 to Children's Hospital in your name. And if you run the marathon and don't finish it, you will donate $1,000 in my name to Children's Hospital. Well, long story short, I trained for the marathon, but the forecasters missed the forecast that day. Said it would be much colder. I was in this black fleece-lined outfit. They said it was going to be like 45, 50 degrees. So clouds broke, everything cleared. It was like 75 and sunny. And the sun is beating down on me. And the third mile, I'm starting to cramp up like I never did in training. And the sixth mile, it feels like there's aliens in my calves. And the ninth mile, like literally, I never had this happen in my life, but I couldn't remove my arms anymore. Like they weren't going up. And all I kept thinking was, God damn, I'm going to owe Pat Bowen $1,000 to Children's Hospital for my... That's all I could think the entire time. And so literally, I ran the first half of the marathon in an hour and 50 minutes, and I finished it in 4 hours and 50 minutes. But I finished it and flew back to Denver the next morning, and it was such a miserable experience. I was on the floor of the plane for the entire flight. They had a ambulance come and pick me up and load me onto a stretcher. Took me to the hospital there in Denver, Rose, I believe it was. And I spent 3-4 days in the hospital with rhabdomyolysis, where your kidney and liver shut down. And I had huge hospital bills. But I did not have to write a check for $1,000 at Holden's name. He wrote the check.
Oh, Adam, man, I appreciate you. Thanks so much for popping on and sharing that story. We're just going to have so many of those today. We really appreciate you.
Yeah, you got it, guys. I appreciate my condolences to the entire Bowen family, to the Broncos organization. We all lost a great man, and he never will be forgotten.
Very well said. Adam Schefter, ladies and gentlemen, as we mourn the loss of Broncos owner Pat Bowlen today here on The Fan. Good morning, Broncos country. I think the Bowlen family in their statement about their father, Pat Bowlen, passing away last night at the age of 75 when it said heaven got a little more orange and blue.
Yeah.
Last night. Stink, that was... That was pretty touching, and you know, in talking when we just talked to Adam Schefter, you could hear the emotion in his voice about, you know, his friend.
Right. Well, I think, you know, I think the amazing thing, you know, Adam just got carried away in his story, but again, it's the connectivity of, you know, Pat Bowlen and how he was, because he did have this stoic look about him, you know. And And I felt the same way when I first walked in, because he was always around. You're like, you know, you're kind of on eggshells because it's the owner, right? I mean,
right.
You're just, ooh, the owner. And he does have that kind of stoic look about him. And then when, you know, you engaged with him, he was just like, oh, yeah. You know, I mean, he used to love it when my father would come in. So, like, my father would come in, and so my father, I'd always bring my father to the facility, you know, let him work out and stuff. And
was he always named Poolside?
He was pool. My college teammates nicknamed him Poolside.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's a freak show. He's just an absolute freak of nature. Turns 80 this Yeah, turns 80 this summer, and he literally benched 300 pounds on his 78th birthday or something. I mean, he is the legitimate freak of nature. So Pat loved it when my dad came in because, you know, they were similar in age. My dad's about 5 years, obviously 5 years older. He's turning 80. Pat just passed away at 75, but, he loved it because my dad would come in and work out, and they would have like great conversations, and they'd work out together. I mean, it was amazing. And it's so funny. I still bump into coaches, both from my Redskin days and because my dad used to come into the facility there too. He'd play racquetball. He almost got in a fight with Ernest Biner playing racquetball because he's whipping Ernest's ass, and Ernest got mad, you know, uber competitive. And so, we had to run down to the racquetball court and basically separate them. Like me and a couple of my teammates. Yeah. My dad, poolside's not backing down either. He's like, oh, I got this guy. I'm like, Dad, you don't want to mess with Ernest. But anyhow, so he and Pat Bowlen used to work out together and stuff when my dad was in town, and just really, I mean, just really cool. I mean, again, his ability, you know, he was kind of initially, I don't want to say standoffish, but he was almost shy. Like Pat wasn't like in your face kind of, you know, I'm the owner. He just took a back seat and just kind of observed and did his thing. And once you engaged with him, he was a blast because we used to get done with practice every day. And like at the end of practice, you know, we'd team run, you know, we'd run whatever we had to run, and I would never run. I would always come into the weight room and jump on the bicycle for 10 minutes or whatever. And I mean, basically just set my feet on the pedals. You know, I really didn't do anything. Move them around very slowly. But I'd always be sitting by the bike next to Pat Bowlen. Inevitably would always be on the treadmill. Just going to town, like pouring sweat. And I mean, just like exhausted. Like I got tired. Like my whole workout was sitting on the bike watching him work out. I was like, oof, that was exhausting.
I'm so tired.
Right. But we'd have conversations like, how's practice, blah, blah, you know, and he's just going to town. I go, slow down, man. I don't know. Take a day off. Relax. You're the owner, you know, and just have those kind of conversations, goofing around and stuff. But, you know, once he got to know him, he was like Adam had talked about, very connective and he loved his team. He loved the players. He loved, you know, he loved the league. He just loved football, man.
The Pro Football Hall of Fame has released a statement. This is from Pro Football Hall of Fame President CEO David Baker. It says, quote, it is with sadness that we mourn the passing of Pat Bowlen. The entire Hall of Fame family extends our deepest sympathies to the entire Bowlen family during this difficult time. Pat's leadership helped shape the NFL into what it is today. He also transformed the Denver Broncos into one of the finest franchises in the league and gave a winning identity to an entire region. He is a man who lived life with passion, conviction, and demonstrated the highest level of integrity at all times. We are fortunate to have knocked on the door of the Bowlen family while he was still with us, and we will preserve his life of character and legacy forever in Canton, close quote. Adam brought it up. Our RamosLaw.com text line is bringing it up. Twitter, social networking, everyone's saying, like, what took so long?
Yeah.
Like, why wasn't he in the Hall of Fame before this? And that, you know, I didn't want to go down this road because I wanted to share stories and hear happy memories about Mr. Bowlen, reflect on his life, mourn his life. But that's one of the first things I thought as well, Stink. I was like, man, why couldn't he have gone in when he was, he's going in and that's great, but he already should have been there. Like Adam said, like he was already a Hall of Famer. He's been a Hall of Famer for years.
Yeah, and you know, the voting process and all that stuff. And you know, a couple of years ago when Jerry Jones went in, and I'm not saying Jerry Jones doesn't deserve to be in, because Jerry Jones was exceptionally influential when it came to putting that Fox deal together. You know, you have to understand, if you go back kind of through that whole deal, I was at the Fox seminar. This is a couple of years ago, and all the Fox former executives that were, you know, in charge of bringing the NFL to Fox, and Jerry Jones was at our seminar, and they kind of went through the whole story. And you know, Jerry was kind of the front man. But behind the scenes, which is pretty typical of Pat Bowlen, behind the scenes, the kind of putting the mechanics of the deal together and, you know, all the things that, that have to make it go. I always talk about this guy, you may not know him, but this guy is the actuator of the offense, right? You may not really know who he is, but it's like I could easily say, like, the real actuator of the offense that made a incredible comeback last year wasn't just that Andrew Luck got healthy in Indianapolis. It really was the drafting of Quentin Nelson and him changing the attitude. So he was, in my mind, kind of the actuator of that offense. They started, remember, 0-5 and became a playoff team. He was kind of the guy that changed the dynamic of that offense from, you know, being soft and it's all on Andrew Luck to taking the pressure off Andrew Luck so he can perform. And in that Fox deal, Pat Bowlen was the actuator of that Fox deal. And a lot of people don't realize this. At the time when the NFL signed, there was a lot of owners that were against this now. But when they signed up with Fox to be kind of the lead NFC, you know, program, Fox was only in 60% of American households. So the NFL cut a deal with Fox when Fox only retained 60% of the households in America. And like I said, Jerry was kind of the front man of getting that done, but Pat Bowlen was the actuator behind the scenes that made the TV deal go.
We mourn the loss of Broncos owner Pat Bowlen today, passing away last night at age 75. And when we look at overall his impact, forget about just football. What owners in any sport have done what Pat did for football? We continue that conversation next on The Fan. Shalerth and Evans this morning, this segment brought to you by Ideal Home Loans. Mourning the loss of Pat Bowlen, Broncos owner, age 75, passed away last night, surrounded by family. And, you know, we know what had been 5 years, Stink, since he had been
diagnosed
yeah. With Alzheimer's. So we certainly send our deepest condolences to the Bowlen family. And we look at the impact on all of sports and obviously football. This goes beyond the Broncos, because there's one thing, the text line brought this up. Pat Bowlen vetoed a trade of John Elway to your Washington Redskins mm-hmm. in 91. And Pat Bowlen stamped that out. Like, just imagine that alone. Of all the things that that Pat Bowlen has done.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine Pat Bowlen stepping in and being like, you're not trading John Elway
right.
to Washington. I mean, so many things. It's really overwhelming when you look at everything that he's done for this team and this community.
You know, you could probably write a book on on management concepts, just based on Pat Bowlen's, you know, life and based on his running and owning the Denver Broncos. And there's several things. Like, there's no question who's in charge, right? But you still connect with your employees. You're connected with your head coach. You're connected with the coaching staff. You're connected with the trainers, with the equipment guys. You're connected to, you know, the weight room guys. Like, he's spending time with every one of those factions, right? With every piece of the puzzle. And in great organizations, you know, are built the foundation. You got to build a strong foundation. And to me, it's the equipment guys. It's the training room. It's the weight room guys. It's the grounds crew. Those guys are the building blocks or the cornerstones of any franchise. And you have to understand that your players, you know, are going out and they're the ones that get recognized, good and bad, you know, based on the way they play. And that's part of what you sign up for as a player. But for the players to really be good, the organization has to be good. You have to provide an environment where you can flourish, you can grow, that you're supported. Like, none of us do it by ourselves. And so Pat was just involved. Like, he's involved. Every day he's down in the training room checking on players, checking with Steve Antonopoulos, checking with Greek about injuries and this thing. He's in the equipment room getting his exercise gear on, you know, talking to those guys. He's in the weight room on a day-to-day basis, right? He's out there while they're manicuring fields. Like, he is connected to every part of the organization, understanding how the organization operates. I think the other thing is there's no question who's in charge. You mentioned the veto of the trade of John Elway. Like, ultimately, the buck stops with me. But I think one of the cool things about Pat was Pat empowered his, he just didn't appoint coaches, he empowered coaches. And when guys are empowered, like, this is your job, deal with it. Go handle your business. I'm giving you full authority. So there was no question, like on our teams, there was no question that Pat Bowlen, you know, the buck stopped there. He had the final say. But there was never a question who ran the show when it came to the players and when it came to what we were doing on the field. And that was Mike Shanahan. And like, from just an organizational structure, there are so many teams where the owners appoint coaches, don't empower coaches, and constantly through their actions usurp the authority of the coach. And you just can't, like, you can't operate an organization that way and think you're going to have, you know, sustained success. And Pat was just a model of how to do that, like how to be in charge, but also how to empower your employees to be in charge of what you assign them to. And I think it's just I think you could write a business kind of management book based upon the way that Pat ran his organization.
It's business management, and to me, it's leadership, you know, and hearing your stories, Schefter stories, like it's the observing overseer who knows he's got to trust people and he's got to empower people. That's what a great leader does and gives you the benchmark. That's why the mural, when you go into the weight room, it's my favorite part of the facility. They got the big mural of Mr. B on the wall, and it says, "I want to be number one at everything."
Right.
Wasn't lying. I mean, that's his mantra. That's his mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he does have that competitive mindset, and, you know, it just reminds me of there's a lot of things that it reminds me of, but James Street passed away years ago, but James Street was, you know, a national championship quarterback at Texas, and his son Houston Street closed here from, had a long time major league career, Houston did. And I got to know James and I got to know Houston. Actually, when Houston was in college, we bumped into him on a beach in Hawaii, and him and the rest of the University of Texas. And of course, you know, my daughters were there. So obviously, you know, that was, you know, at the time that was, you're like, "Oh Lord, here we go," you know. So, and we ended up going to the baseball game and stuff, you know. And anyhow, it turned into kind of a friendship, right? And so I was out at Texas because I was going to call some baseball games for ESPN, college, you know, World Series and all that kind of stuff. And so I went out to kind of study the game and study Texas and ended up going to dinner with James in Houston. And James said something to me that was so profound, and it's just kind of reminded me of the way I am wired and the way Mr. Bowlen was wired when it comes to competitiveness. And he's like, "Hey, listen, there's always a game going on. And if you don't know what it is, you're probably it. Like, I am just wired. I am going to compete. I don't care if we're washing dishes. Like, I want to whip your ass in washing dishes. Like, I am crushing my neighborhood in the long game. They don't even know we're in a competition." My green chili partner, David Bloom, stopped by last night. We were doing some samples. He's like, "Dude, your front yard looks amazing." And David is a former landscaper and had a landscaping company forever. That's how I met him.
Right.
And he goes, "Your front yard is amazing." He goes, "Your neighbors don't even realize they're in a competition, do they?" I go, "No, I'm just whipping their ass. Like, I am crushing the neighborhood right now. It's not even close." But, you know, that's the way I think the great competitors are wired. And that's Mr. Bowlen. Like, he's just wired to compete.
And that resonated with the Denver Broncos, certainly, and became the identity of this team. Our friend Jeff Legwald from ESPN had tweeted this out. I think it's awesome. I got to read it. And Jeff tweets, I have many memories of Pat Bowlen on matters both big and small, but one of my favorites will always be how he would predict the Broncos would go 16-0 every season. And he said, well, if I don't think that way, how will anyone else? And then Jeff says, condolences to the Bowlen family. Yes, indeed. Terrell Davis, the great Terrell Davis, had a very powerful sentiment about Mr. Bowlen. We're going to get to that next on The Fan.